Hello and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast.
Hello.
I'm your host, Michael McPherson. I'm here with my beautiful wife and guest, Mackenzie Marsleff.
I'm always your guest, huh?
Well, lately. But we'll have other guests at some point.
Nice.
But I like having you here.
Me too. It feels like our podcast.
It is our podcast. That's why it feels that way. Very much so. We have a very special episode for you today. One that I'm very eager and enthusiastic about, because today we're going to be talking about Mackenzie and the book she just wrote and published. So I'm not going to say the name yet because I want you to say the name. And if you're okay, I'd like to just jump right in.
Yes, let's do it.
I prepared a list of questions for Mackenzie before this episode.
Aw.
First question. What is the title of your book and where can people find it?
So the book is called How to Lead a Badass Business from Your Heart. It's the permission you've been looking for to birth your vision and spread your glitter in the world. And people can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and IndieBound. If you are in the U.S., I do recommend you go through IndieBound because then you're supporting local independent retailers. But if you are anywhere else in the world, you'll probably need to go through Amazon.
What inspired you to write the book?
What inspired me to write the book was my experiences that I had and continue to have in my business.
Which business is that?
So let's go back. Early 2015, I started a business called Delight to Buy. It's a plant-based dessert company, and we sell our products all over the nation here in the States to many different retailers. And I also have another business, as most people know. It's a not-for-profit with Michael, and it's called Cacao Ceremonial Drinking Chocolate. We source cacao from Peru and create it into ceremonial-grade cacao for heart opening and healing and creativity. And so these are not my first businesses, however. I had some experience. I've always been an entrepreneur, and I had the experience in my initial businesses of, while they were still service-based, I was kind of coming from a place of stress and force and kind of trying to figure everything out from my mind, worry, and pressure. Whereas then after I went through my personal journey, which I share about in the book, and a lot of people that have listened to this have heard my story, but after I went through that personal kind of awakening process and healing process of myself, what came through me after that was a new way of doing business, a new way of business that I hadn't yet discovered but wanted to discover. And really, it's both Delight to Buy and Cacao were birthed from a place of intuition and from a place of my heart, and really with a greater in service to something bigger than me. And yeah, so I worked with plant medicines and had this experience of receiving a lot of wisdom and downloads on how to approach my business as I was bringing it into the world. And I still continue to get these messages. I'm still very much learning, and I feel like I'm in a modern day mystery school when it comes to my businesses. And so this book is an attempt to share some of those things that I received. And there's many things in the book that I'd probably even see differently now, but it's a really good starting place for someone that considers themselves to be an entrepreneur, whether you have a small business, a big business, and you want to lead from a more intuitive place of guidance, from a more surrendered place, and from a more magical and miraculous place.
I see. Maybe you're looking at some of the questions because you're already starting to cover.
Really?
I didn't look. Intuitively picking up on that. And there's a couple of things that I just wanted to highlight that you spoke of. One is your awakening, going through your awakening, and two is your work with plant medicines. Would you say that those two things were kind of one and the same, mm-hmm. or paralleled?
Yes.
And what part did that play, or does that play in this book?
The entire book is basically a devotion to ayahuasca and to Madre and everything that she gifted to me. And my main guide, which is Gaia. So the whole book is really my attempt at expressing what the medicines gifted me in terms of that wisdom. So I'm very transparent about that in my book. I share about my ceremonies. I share about my upbringing. I share about some of the healing that I went through. The book does not give light to really the deep transformation that I've gone through because of my work with the medicines, as it pertains to my family or my sexuality or my feminine or my business, or my partnership. But it does give access to my healing as it pertains to business and money and power and trusting myself, like / empowerment. It gives access to kind of what the medicines taught me about all of those things. And it's helped me lay a foundation of my business that's really solid. Mm. A foundation that's rooted in relationships that are thriving. And my personal genius being able to be expressed freely in the world. Like, I am thriving. I am not, you know, while my business is still very much transforming and going through growing pains and growing through all kinds of things, especially with COVID and the shift of the landscape of the food industry. Despite the fact that it's going through all of those things, I here as the entrepreneur, as the channel, am thriving. And I'm not running around with my head cut off and, like, you know, stressing out all the time. In fact, I have a team of people that are thriving as well, that are in their genius. And that's the gift of what I'm really trying to offer in my book. I'm really trying to offer, like, tools to get through what I call, like, the battleground of the beginning of your business and the first few years of your business and kind of all the things that can come up, especially in the energetic body, so that you can come out on the other side knowing yourself better. Being, like, in more expression of your true self, feeling supported, feeling provided for, feeling guided, feeling like you don't have to always figure it out, you know, but that you're genuinely being guided and supported. I forget your question, but
I have another one.
Okay.
You pointed to your devotion to and for the medicine. And I think there are a lot of people that are listening to this that will probably understand almost immediately what it is you're talking about. And there's probably some people that won't know what you're talking about. So can we drop it a layer deeper? And can you tell us a little bit about what that relationship was like or how that relationship got started? You don't have to tell the story, but because this book is a transmission in a way of what you learned through the medicine, how did you even come to learn it? Mm-hmm. With the medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that question. In fact, I just wrote that story because Michael and I are co-authoring a book right now called Working with Ayahuasca in the Modern Day World. And it's in a part of it, I wrote my whole journey and, like, relationship with her. And so if you haven't worked with ayahuasca before, you might be like, why did she just call it her? But when you work with ayahuasca, you really get the experience that you are interacting with a feminine energy, a very motherly, cosmic mother, divine energy, and you're interacting with a lot of other beings, whatever you're opening yourself up to. But my relationship with her kind of, I can't even say it's just deepened over time. It just was deep from day one. Like, she won me over and just had me really get that there is something bigger at play here. And it had me relax into a much more playful, curious, softer, lighter place. And because, I was guided to continue to work with her over the course of several years, I had the experience of going through a lot of, even bad, like not bad, but hard things, like challenging things. And she really supported me through that and initiated me into many aspects of myself through those experiences. And she's really humbled me in so many ways and shown me my own shit in many ways. And I just can't not, have reverence for her, because she gifted me my life back. She gifted me, and she continues to gift me who I really am. Mm. When I work with the medicine, it's like I remember who I really am. I remember what's really going on here. I remember who we really are as a couple. I remember how it, despite having, we do have to look at the darkness and these different aspects within the medicine, I still always get to remember how we are okay. And this is just, it's helped me on so many levels. So my life is in devotion to integrating those teachings. And my hope is that anything I create, whether it's a food brand or a post or a book, that it does the medicine justice. My biggest thing that I say in the book is like, I'm not here to tell you how to lead your business. In fact, I just want to remind you to kind of turn to yourself and realize that you are the ultimate guidance. Mm. The ultimate guidance is inside of you, and for you to trust yourself again as the multidimensional, infinite creator that you are. Mm. And that's what she's really gifted to me. And so when it comes to like deepening your access to these kinds of truths, my recommendation always is, if it speaks to you, is to work with the medicine. There nothing can replace the medicine. And I certainly am not trying to replace her through this book. I'm just simply trying to offer forward my stories, which have actually been, to me, they're normal now. But when someone else hears them or I tell them for the first time, people are like, how did that happen to you? How is that real? And it's because of my work with the medicine that had me come to the wisdom, to the opening, to the space, to the allowance for these amazing miracles to unfold in my life.
Mm. Well, just to clarify for people that are listening, it's not like you went into ceremony looking to get something from it in terms of your business.
No.
Or you didn't go to ceremony thinking like, oh, I'm going to write this book.
No.
So I'll go and get like all these creative downloads from the medicine. You went to the medicine with the intention of healing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't even know. I think, that's probably where you're at in the beginning. You didn't know where you were going, right?
Yeah.
And this beautiful relationship came from it. And then these business entities were inspired. And then, if it's my understanding, you guys had a relationship where when you were in ceremony, she would talk to you about your businesses, right? Give you guidance, things to do. And it was really your integration of those things and actually implementing them into your business that had this whole story come to life. So can you just wrap about that for a second of what it was actually like to hear something, or she would say something to you and you're like, oh wait, no, what? No. And then next thing you know, you're bringing it to life in your business.
I love that question because it was kind of a surprise when I was in ceremony and started getting downloads about my business. Mm-hmm. And actually I explain it in the book. I actually interacted with the energy of my business for the first time, mm-hmm. as something that's, I'm saying separate, which I know we're all like one, but as unique to me, like, you know, someone I can converse with, something I can converse with and commune with. And what my shaman at the time he had mentioned is that when you're in the medicine, there's these like neurological pathways that complete. It's almost like, when you're not on the medicine and you haven't done any work, you haven't opened up your third eye, you've just kind of been in the 3D matrix. Your thoughts, what happened is they like stop 3/4 of the way. The thoughts just go 3/4 of the way. But then when you're on the medicine and you open up, what he kind of explained is that the thought completely finishes. And that's what started happening is in pertaining to my business. There'd be things going on in my business. And when I would work with the medicine, she was so generous in allowing me to engage with my business while under the medicine, and would lead me there. And these thoughts would finish. Like, there'd be a problem in the business, or I wouldn't know what to do on the business, and it would just complete. It'd be like, oh, well, that's what you're meant to do with it. And that's what you're meant to do with that. And that's what you're meant to do about that. Mm. It was very interesting. Like, just the smallest, like, little things, like, to change in my business, and the biggest things, like such as whether it has to do with an employee or something, there'd be big things and little things that she would really just drop in. But how I kind of took it was that she was helping my thoughts complete but my thoughts were completing in a way that weren't limited by society and the constructs that we have, that our minds have around business and money and people. And, you know, it's like, because I was in an open space, my thoughts could complete while in connection to my wholeness, to my multidimensionality, mm-hmm. and to miracle consciousness. And because the medicine is pure, like ayahuasca is just, I don't actually know her core intention, but I would say her core intention is to bring people back into their heart space and to have us remember the cosmic heart. And when you do that work, which can require a lot of healing and purging because the space gets so clogged up, when you access the heart space, it's like what really matters is what shines through. Mm. And so someone might look at, oh, the business, I need to pay my bills. And these little things that entrepreneurs get stressed out about. Mm. Like, how am I going to market my product? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to get more clients? How am I going to, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like you open your heart and you are really inside of that like cosmic heart. And then you everything that comes through is from that place. It's from this really pure, all that matters kind of place. Mm. Do you want me to give me an example? I mean, like, I was told to discontinue a flavor of my product through the medicine. Really simple, the orange dreamsicle. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have that?
Yeah, I did. My first order.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Before I even really knew you.
So funny. Yeah, so that, and it's just like a random thing that dropped in, you know, but then I've also, there have been times where, like, I was really connecting into the soul of one of my friends named Marissa for many ceremonies. I didn't know why, like, I wasn't close friends with her. I wasn't really friends with her. I just knew about her. And she just like kept coming in. And then one day I eventually hired her for my company. Mm-hmm. And then it's like later down the road, it made sense as to why she was so present for me in my ceremonies. Mm. So things like that.
Wow. Super powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you already talked about, just to switch gears a little bit, who this book is for. But I want to ask you a little bit more personal question. Why do you want the people that the book is for to read it?
Well, the book is really is for light workers, and I said entrepreneurs, but it's really for entrepreneurs that are interested in personal growth and that are looking at their business as a way to grow and expand and tap into their multidimensional nature. And so, like, if you were to take this book and put it, like, give it to like a Harvard grad who's like running a regular business and has never done any spiritual work, he'd probably be like, this makes zero sense to me. This is the weirdest thing I've ever read. And I like, no, I disagree with it. But if it's someone that's actually maybe even fearful of business or fearful of the patriarchy or fearful of capitalism, and but yet really wants to bring through creative expression and thrive financially through it and be a business owner, which sometimes business owners, I feel, just side note, entrepreneurs are like glorified in our society. So a lot of people are like, I want to be an entrepreneur, but really they don't. Mm-hmm. So like, make sure this book is actually for the people that are like legitimately, they really want to have a business. They have a business. They have an idea, whatever. And so why I'd love for those individuals to read my book is really so that they can receive grace through their experience. Mm-hmm. I actually say in the book that this isn't just to tell you like what to do. It's not like an outline. It's more so to like give you more permission to trust yourself. It's to give you more permission to, it's to give you tools so that you can thrive while you're bringing this to life, to have fun, to receive fully every step of the way, to receive fully every person that's brought into your life because of your business. The older construct of business is like produce a result. And so that's kind of what we focus on. However, the more feminine aspect to business is to really be in a state of receptivity every step of the way, and to take enough time in your life to contemplate what it is you've been receiving through your business, to contemplate the relationships, to contemplate the conversations you've been having, not to get stuck in the past, but to actually let that meaningful information hit your heart. And to be in like so much delight and joy of the journey, because that's really what it is, you know. And I am still very much in the journey. When I wrote this book, it was very, you know, I started writing this book on a high, and this high where we had just gotten to like 5,000 stores. You know, I think by the time I wrote the book, we had sold over $15 million worth of product and just all these success. We were on Shark Tank, like boom, 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 boom. And then now the book's going out. We're not really in that place. I don't have a lot of like things like, would you say like notches on the belt? What is it called? Like, I don't have a lot of like check marks. Like, look at us. We've done this lately. We've done this lately. We've done this lately. No, in fact, like our sales have gone down. Mm. Our foundation, however, has not only like a foundation hasn't crumbled. In fact, what we're getting is that the foundation has been so incredibly invested into that now we're just almost like, it's like a death and rebirth process. We're just creating something completely new, which is scary for the entrepreneur, but that's where we're at. And in that process, I'm learning even more. God, if we would have just grown, sold the business, I would have robbed myself from the relationships that I'm experiencing now inside of my business. From me getting to watch the brilliance that's unfolding in my team members as they recreate the wheel on this very solid foundation that is so rooted in love, respect, and reciprocity with each other. And while one day I will sell my business. That will be happening. It's that I'm not really in control of that timeline. And in fact, my only job is to receive the beauty of the journey every step of the way, even if the numbers don't match up or there's scary things that happen or unknowns like COVID. And yeah, in fact, COVID, I would say this has been the most downturn year financially for us ever, but yet the most solid I've ever felt. You can probably relate to that, or you could probably affirm that in our relationship. Mm-hmm. This is the most me I've felt. This is the most fulfilled I've ever felt in my business. Mm-hmm. And the most, yeah, in awe and the most inspired and the most surrendered and the most protected and the most guided and the most curious. So I feel really, yeah.
Well, you pointed to some really powerful things. So I just want to accentuate those things here. And that is that, you know, a lot of people's view about being an entrepreneur is you go, 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 grind, 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 even suffer whatever amount of time you have to achieve your end goal, which could be the transition of a company, the sale, reaching a certain benchmark in terms of finances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I hear you sharing in all of this is you're encouraging people to have a relationship with their business, to their business, to actually be able to enjoy the process from start to finish, not just to suffer through it, but to live through it, to grow through it, mm-hmm. and to see your business as a relationship, just like we have our partnership, that can and will, if you allow it to, contribute to your personal growth, mm-hmm. which I have to imagine, of course, it's been my experience, totally enriches the experience.
Yeah. It is the experience. Okay, good. It's the experience. Yeah. It's just the experience. It's everything. You know, if I just like tune into my heart and everything I've experienced over the last 6 years, it has nothing to do with the numbers. I think it was really important for us to have the numbers in order for me to write the book in a way. Mm-hmm. I think it helped me for some reason have a platform to speak about business, because if we were where we were at right now, where I'm at right now is that I don't know anything, you know? And you know that saying, like, the more that you know, the more you realize you don't know anything. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at right now, because I'm in such a death and rebirth process, and I'm in such a, like, a reconstruction process. And I've had to really trust myself that the decisions I made in the last 5 years were good, accurate, right. They were spot on. And I've noticed myself, this is just a vulnerability here, go into some doubt of like, wait, did I make the right decisions? Because we're not continuously growing. In fact, we've taken a downturn. Did I mess up? Did I lead wrongly? Did I hear wrongly? Was that from my wounding? Like, I just have had so many doubts. But I think that's honestly just the conditioning when it comes to business, is that we're taught and we receive through the societal kind of norm, mm-hmm. that success is basically just growth on the spreadsheet, mm-hmm. especially as it pertains to business. It's what's glorified. It's what's, you know, and basically, unfortunately, that's, we have to be really careful about that, because it's what's kind of led to, I'm not against capitalism, but you can look at corporatism and what, if someone is coming from that place of we need to only continuously grow, unfortunately, you get to a point where you will start draining resources, precious resources that take from other communities, mm-hmm. or you will get to a point where you're making sacrifices to increase profitability. Mm-hmm. Whereas what Richard Rudd and the Gene Keys talks about is every business has its own like perfect size. And, to affirm, like, yes, like it is the experience. Mm. It's not the end result. And I think we need to, as entrepreneurs, be really careful of just looking at the end result and being like, yeah, I'm going to achieve that. And then it's going to keep going up and up and up and up and up. That's not the point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if it were to keep going up and up and up and up and up, it would probably be at some point more damaging than it is good. Mm-hmm. on a whole level.
That's exactly what Richard Rudd talks about in the Gene Keys, which, mm-hmm. I mean, the Gene Keys in itself is a huge transmission on conscious business once you get into the Pearl sequence especially. And I love that work.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing your vulnerability, because I feel like it would be really easy for our audience and everyone listening to this to look at you and see your success and only see your success.
Yeah.
But something you've been really good about all along the way is sharing the pitfall, sharing the challenges, sharing the hardship,
mm-hmm.
and letting people know how you've chosen to grow through those things. But yeah, it can be easy even for people in our sphere to look at you and say, well, Mackenzie, she's just the business person. She's, you know, she's got the Midas touch. Everything she touches turns to gold. But what I hear you saying is a lot of the most profound teachings you've received and embodied have come through a different perspective on success.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And we could talk about that for so long.
Totally. We don't have to.
No, it's trying to feel into what I really want to say about this. Yeah, it's not comfortable, right? To sit here and say, well, let me like even go deeper. It's not comfortable to show my new leadership team our financials and say, hey guys, we got a problem here. Help. You got any ideas? You know? And, I really had to come up against my own self-doubt and fear, in worthiness and all the things to even be able to vulnerably share those spreadsheets. Well, let me be clear. I didn't hire a president to come in and fix anything. I hired a president because I was so intuitively guided that it was time for this leadership, especially in protection of myself and what I'm really here to do, mm-hmm. which is to initiate and build teams. And so personally, I feel like the biggest mistake I've made in my business is that I waited too long to hire that leader, and I stayed in it for too long. And I have my own ideas about how I think the business should go, and how I think I get very protective of my business, but almost too protective. I'm too close to it. Mm-hmm. And so it took a lot of, well, you actually one time said it when the numbers were starting to go that way, you said like, she's forcing you to hire someone because like, she's forcing you to step back into your true role. Mm-hmm. She's forcing you. Like even we had, so everything I started touching wasn't working. It was so annoying. The brownie project, the cookies and cream SKU, like everything was not working anytime I'd get involved. And so it was like she was saying, hey, I need you to back off, right? Which is actually a huge gift. Like, thank you. I love that because it has me come back into my genius.
And note to all the entrepreneurs listening that your business very well might kick you out one day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Did I say that in the book about when your business kicks you out? I think so. I think I did. I haven't gotten to, in this book, it was finished over a year ago, but started 3 years ago. So I haven't gotten to really speak to where I'm at now, what I've learned, and even gotten to, from this perspective, seeing some of my stubbornness and how, like, the grasping. And so it's just a very humbling journey. I think that's like the biggest thing, is that we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be perfect. Like, we are being held by energies of love and by our business itself, that we don't have to go in being perfect. And I think that's what I've gotten scared of in the past of like, oh no, like, am I going to lose my business? Which has actually been a beautiful exploration.
Mm-hmm.
It's had me face death and like learn about death, learn about life, learn about like, why am I fearful of that?
Mm.
Where do I cling on to that or try to control something, when really my life has reflected nothing other than that I am always led to the best, most amazing outcome. And like, at times that's looked really traumatic. Like, I've had serious trauma unfold in my life that I am like, I see what was actually happening is that I was being pushed into the ideal scenario. I was being pushed into my soul's path. And I'm like, thank God that that happened. And yeah, it took a lot of work and healing to release the trauma, but it was always in my highest interest. So this is what I keep coming back to these days. And even just like my resistance to hiring leadership and how that was actually, here, let me say something. In my prerequisite PDF, which is free on my website, I quote Susie Batisse, who's another entrepreneur, and she says, what's happening in your business is a direct reflection of what's happening inside of you. And I 100% believe that. So any resistance that I had to hiring leadership, a lot of times was because of my own wounding around the masculine. Not that I'm saying I was only going to hire a man, but that I knew I was calling on masculine energy to help support this incredibly feminine foundation, which is beautiful, like so beautiful, but we weren't getting anything done. Like, we really, like, I mean, that's not, that's kind of like an exaggeration, right. But there were, like, it was just, there was a lot of beautiful feelings, healings, connection. And that was necessary. I don't regret an ounce of it because it served everyone involved. But what I was really calling in was some masculine structure and leadership and guide, like direction. And I needed to do two things. Number one, heal my relationship to the masculine and my fear around the masculine. And number two, I needed to heal my own trust in myself. If I trust my feminine intuition enough, then inherently I'm going to trust my masculine counterpart in any area of my life because I believe in my own power. I believe in my own voice. I believe that it's worthy, that it's going to be heard. It's going to be taken seriously. So I needed to trust that if I brought in leadership, that they were going to do right by my business, but that if there was anything that didn't feel right in my body, that I'd be able to say so and it would be taken seriously. But that was all an internal process, which a lot of women and a lot of the world has externalized and said, this is happening to me. I feel oppressed. But I needed to heal my own oppression within me to actually rise and create this amazing dynamic that I now have.
Wow, that's so powerful. And you just shared so much that literally I feel like we could jam out on that.
That could be a chapter in the book.
An entire day. It could be a whole other book.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just mentioned one thing that I just want to come back to because we started that conversation on the topic of success. And you mentioned voice. I feel like people give themselves permission to use their voice and access their voice and share their voice in the world based upon their success and or lack of success.
Oh,
if we
wow.
have success in the world, then you have the authority, which we've been in a contemplation of lately, to use your voice in the world. But if you don't have success to show for what you've done, then you don't have the authority to use your voice in the world. Mm-hmm. But in all that you've been sharing, I can't help but feel like you could probably write a whole other book based on your quote unquote failures.
Yeah.
And how much those things contributed to you and made a difference and propelled you forward in terms of your success.
Like how to not lead a badass business from your heart.
That would be hilarious. And I'm sure you could do it. You could probably fill an entire manuscript.
Oh, yeah.
With how not to do that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
So if anyone's like, well, I haven't had the success, so I can't share, your life experiences are guiding you. You know, your perceived failures are contributing to you, and you have every right to share what you're learning from those things, because it's not only going to be a contribution to your own personal growth, it's going to be a contribution to everyone that hears that. So that's my little plug.
I love it.
The next question I want to ask you, which ties pretty much right into this, is what was the greatest challenge that you encountered in bringing this book to life, either writing it or actually just birthing it in whole?
The greatest challenge. Well, I'm a manifester in human design, so even just having consistent energy to write it, because my creative bursts can come in so spontaneously, I definitely had to commit, right? Like make a commitment and set that time aside each day. I'd even, you know, have like goals from the end of the week. I want to have this chapter complete. So that was a bit of a challenge for me. A challenge was around, I would say, giving up control with my publisher.
I remember those challenges.
But that was also, again, with like, that was also bringing me up against my own fears that my creation, hold on, how do I want to say this? It helped me heal my resentment with the food industry. Because in my experience, my experience with the food industry is that I had this like product that I loved and that I poured a lot of passion into, but that in order for it to fit inside the industry, Delighted By needed to be like pigeonholed into a certain type of package, a certain type of manufacturing, a certain type of ingredients, even a certain type of marketing strategy, just like all these things that for me felt really like, ugh. And I carried tension over time and resentment towards the industry, because I really desired creative freedom. And what I got to learn through that is, number one, Delighted By has her own path. And like I've just had to learn to like let her go. But I also got to experience how much I actually care about my creative expression and care about my creative freedom. And I got to like claim that back for myself. Mm-hmm. So again, if what's going on in your business is an exploration, is a reflection of what's going on inside of you, growing up and throughout even my early adult years, I didn't honor my true, I had a lot of healing to do as it pertains to my full expression without judgment, my full expression without getting in trouble, my full expression without being told it's wrong. And so what happened with my publisher as I was bringing this business to life is that I felt like they were trying to control what the cover looked like and how the structure and just how it was going to be printed and the template and like the fonts and everything. And I was so pissed. I was pissed. I was sad. I was angry, like over the top emotional about this. And to the point where then I realized, like, you and I were in the kitchen and I was like, this doesn't have to do with the publisher, does it? It had to do with my pent-up tension from the food industry, and it had to do with my pent-up tension from as being a child. And my innocent delight, my innocent creativity, just wanting to be not only just honored, expressed, honored, celebrated. And so I just kind of think I got fed up with being like, oh, I see it this way. And another person being like, no, that's not allowed. No, that's not allowed. And it just was triggering those things from my past that needed to be released.
Totally. And you got to heal that.
I got to heal that. So it was perfect.
Yeah, perfect and powerful in and of itself. And you got to learn that you really love to have creative control.
I learned so much on that.
Of your creative projects. So to take your authority back in that way and say, no, this is what I need. If I'm going to create, then I need full creative control. Mm-hmm. And to not have that be an egotistical thing. It's just a knowing. It's just a truth. Right?
Oh, yeah. And that will impact the rest of my life as it pertains to creativity. I think, you know, I mean, like this, is it right for me to go traditional publishing route, right? Mm-hmm. Is it my ideal? Does it feel expansive? Does it feel juicy? Does it feel fun? Not really. Like I'd rather be able to put, I don't know, you know, just design it and make it badass. And so with Request Bar, the entity that Michael and I are bringing through, what I'm so excited about, one of the things is to have complete creative control and access infinite possibilities and to really do it in a way that honors my creative expression. But I'm going to be also attracting that into my life because I'm saying yes to that, and because I honor it within myself now.
Very powerful.
I'll speak one more thing here.
Please do.
Because I was resenting the food industry and I was talking so much shit about it for years, is it possible that we took a downturn financially because of that? Is it possible that I created that universal laws? Was it recording?
I just glitched out for a second.
Oh.
It was, and then it paused, and we're just probably going to be about 3 seconds that's missing, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Should I keep going?
Please.
Okay, cool. Is it possible? So, yeah, what I really heard is, like, how can you have success in an industry that you hate? How can you have success in an industry that you resent, that you talk so much shit about? How can you have success in an industry that you don't respect? And that was pivotal. And thank goodness, like, you know, I feel like now with a team, they hold such a level of respect and passion and excitement for the industry. And I'm always trying to get on their level with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've really noticed now is, like, how can I, if I want to be a vibrational match to success within the food industry, then I'm going to also need to have a level of respect and honor and positivity and optimism, understanding, compassion and love, unconditional acceptance. Doesn't mean I'm going to let myself get walked all over. However, I think what I've noticed is that I just value other people's perspectives more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice where I can get so intense, which serves me. However, it can lose business. And so now I get to also ask my team, well, how do you see this? What do you see here? And I've extended a lot of trust in them.
Yeah.
To have them make those decisions. And for me, it's just a balance of understanding, like, where do I need to kind of hold strong to this? But is this coming from my wounding, or is this coming from a deep intuitive knowing?
Well, it makes such a profound difference to know where it's coming from, right?
Yes.
Especially in terms of your response. And that's something that I've witnessed in you over time. Of course, you're always incredibly responsible for yourself in relationships, in business, taking responsibility for your behaviors. But I've really noticed you pause and check in and, like, really do that moment of internal work before responding to anything, which I think has just made such a profound difference in
your work.
Experience of business.
It makes such a difference rather than reacting right away. So, for instance, they want to take away a lot of my flavors, a lot of our flavors. They want to, like, just have, long story, but they want to simplify our offerings right now with the place of the business that we're in. And so, meaning, like, how I took that when I first found out was, like, so I'm losing this flavor and this flavor and this flavor and this flavor. I don't feel good about that. I feel uncomfortable. That must mean it's a no. I disapprove. I do not approve this message. And I'm going to fight for those flavors, you know? So anyway, before responding, I sat with it for 24 hours, which is important because I'm an emotional manifester in human design. I realized that it was actually my own fear of losing something. It was my own disappointment in myself, or feeling like I failed those flavors, or like that not having them anymore would mean that they weren't successful. But also that, you know, good thing, this belief that I kind of picked up when I was early, or like really young, that all, like, everything that's good in my life ends up getting taken away from me. And so I realized that that's what was actually making me uncomfortable. And that's why I wasn't in alignment with my inner being. And so when I cried and felt that and allowed those flavors to just to be honored, and I just felt like a less attachment to them. Of like, it doesn't mean that they're, oh, you know what? Because what I got was everything that I did end up losing, in my early years, there was always a gift on the other side. Mm-hmm. A huge gift, instrumental in my life. And so I knew that as I let these flavors go, there will be a huge gift that comes. And so then that allowed me to get on the meeting the next day and offer forward my blessing. You know, still acknowledge some of my feelings that that did come up, but what I worked through. I always love to share that with my team. Hey, this is what came up for me. This is what I worked through. And so now where I'm at is I give my blessing to this, and I'm very energized by the gift that's going to come on the other side of it. You know, and I trust the way that you're seeing this. Yeah.
So if you want to grow, get a business, start a business.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Be in union and start a business.
That's right. Okay. So we're getting close to the end now. And so I just want to bring it home with some more intimate questions.
Oh, wow.
So now that this book is fully birthed, it's available to the whole world and anyone who wants to read it. Are there any lingering fears or insecurities that you feel being on this side of the birthing process?
Absolutely. Yes. Did you read my prerequisite?
Not yet.
Okay, cool. So in there, I speak a little bit to it. I even said, like, as I read my book back, I felt shame. And I don't feel that in this moment. But at the time, I felt some shame because I was like, is that how I would say it now? Mm-hmm. Is that how I would approach it now? So the things that have come up for me are just little doubts like that. And not that the information isn't accurate or right or going to be helpful, because I believe it still can be. But just from my own place that's older, hopefully a little bit wiser, you know, would I express that differently? Mm-hmm. So the big part is where I noticed that resentment I was talking about the food industry or about the patriarchy or about whatever, like, kind of came through sometimes energetically. At least I could feel it. Mm-hmm. And that just, I guess, didn't feel fully right. Now, look, I have a right to my sacred anger. And I definitely have my right to my fierceness. I have a right to my fierce motherly protector, and to say when something's not okay with me, and it's to know, you know. And there are many aspects of, there's many things in my life, a handful of things in my life that I still stand in of, like, that's not okay with me, and I'm a no to that from here on out, whether it's in business or relationship. But what I want to make sure that everyone knows, and where I'm at now, is that I don't see that the industry is a problem. I don't view it that patriarchy is the problem. I don't view it that capitalism is the problem. I don't even view, like, I'm just not in a place where I'm at now that I'm going to, like, shit talk someone that's drilling for oil. I just am not going to do it. Like, you're not going to get it out of me, because that's, for me, actually just a projection of my own shame in humanity, my own guilt around my connection to humanity. And when I start to own those things within myself, I become softer, but yet more powerful, I feel. You know, of course, I know even more than ever where I want to engage, what I want to engage with, who I want to engage with. However, I see now that all the different things that have showed up in my life and all the things that have showed up in my business were a reflection of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think I take more responsibility, but more genuine responsibility. Because I take more genuine responsibility for my part, I think I also acknowledge where there's genuine responsibility in other parts.
Totally.
So that's my only thing that's come up is, like, oh no, like, do I sound entitled? did I tell that story wrong? Did I not, you know, give enough voice to where I was so wrong in that situation? Or I don't know. There's mainly one situation I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so those were the insecurities that came up. And now that I've kind of addressed that, it's like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like you writing that prerequisite gave you a lot of permission just to kind of let those things go.
Totally did. And writing does that for me. Like when I write something, I just, like I probably just delete the prerequisite off my book, off my website now, you know, like I don't even need to have it there.
Sure, sure.
It's contributed to people so far though.
Yeah.
And, but it just healed something in me and it allowed me to give voice to it. And then at this point it's like, I guess I just face like, what is the worst that could happen? What if someone thinks I'm entitled? Oh wait, I don't actually care. Like at first I think I care because I don't want to come across that way.
Yeah.
But then when I look in my immediate environment, you know who I am. I know who I am. My people know who I am. Right. And we're all human. We're all learning. And if you want to be in my life, you're going to see. Mm-hmm. Like, you know who I am.
Yeah.
You know what I stand for. You know what I stand by. So it's been very empowering as well.
Definitely.
As I've faced those own self-judgments and shame or guilt or doubt, I've actually become more in myself of like, hold up. I know who I am. Mm. And I'm not an angel. You know, I've definitely fucked up.
Mostly.
Thank you. I am an angel. However, I also am human. Mm-hmm. And I do fuck up at times. And honestly, for anyone that knows me long enough, knows that I am probably more willing than anyone else they know to be like, yeah, I fucked up. Like, that's just something I, for myself, pride myself on because of how much it can soften. Like when you can just like get in someone else's world and be like, yeah, I can totally see how you could feel that way. And yeah. So I think I've just come into deeper self-love, self-compassion, which is interesting because how I started this conversation off when you asked me the question was that I have more compassion for the industry. Mm-hmm. I have more compassion for those that drill oil, that continue to drill. I have compassion for the world and how it is right now.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, of course, that as I have more compassion for myself, I have more compassion for them.
Yeah, which is really a testament to you continually returning to your heart space and processing everything through there so that you can stay open to continually to deepen your compassion, to deepen your understanding. So I just wanted to acknowledge you there.
Thank you. You're such a good interviewer.
I'm not done yet. So if you could dream the most magnificent dream, what impact does this book have in the world?
I love that question. Thank you. So the vision that I have is that creatives and light workers all over the world get to relax in their bodies even more. They get to feel safer on this planet. They get to experience true divine guidance. And that they also get to experience genuine abundance in all areas of their life, while doing what they love, but not just what they are here to do. And then lastly, the dream, the vision, is that there are creatives and light workers all over the world living out their dream, giving themselves permission to dream again, to dream bigger, and to literally live their dream.
Dang.
Aho.
That's juicy. Well, I don't think you could have said it any better than that, but is there anything else that you want to share now that we've got you? Want to share about your book, about yourself, just anything?
You feel complete? I am so complete.
Okay.
Yeah.
You feel complete.
Thank you.
How to Lead a Badass Business from Your Heart. Go out and buy it, read it, digest it, integrate it, embody it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just glean this woman's wisdom.
Love you. And I'll start writing my other book. how to not lead a badass business from your heart.
Which might be more entertaining for folks. Yeah. What was the other one you wanted to write? It was super. Oh, how to not be a
business? Don't even say it.
Okay, I can't say it to you guys, but it's so funny. If you want to know, just like shoot me a text message and I'll tell you privately. Thank you so much for being here with us, everyone. We love you so much, and we will see you on the next episode.
Thank you.